Brian Helsworth, joined by the longtime news director Bob Priddy at Missouri Net, who worked here at Missouri Net from 1974 to 2014. Bob, the Missouri Broadcasters Association announcing that you and Mike Murphy will be inducted into the Hall of Fame in June. What an honor. Congratulations, and your reaction.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's a very big compliment to somebody who just got up every morning and came in and did his work, and did his work as well as he could, and who loved being a journalist and still does like being a journalist. And so if they think that what I did for 40 years is worth this kind of recognition, I'm not going to argue with them.
And you look at your career, and I saw the numbers in the release, just staggering. More than 1,000 lawmakers that you've seen come and go, governors, inaugurations. Those numbers alone are staggering.
Well, if you hang around for a long time, they add up. But especially with term limits, that has a tendency to increase the legislator numbers. And I figured there were several hundred that I'd covered or at least seen come and go. But when I saw that it was 1,032 or whatever the number is, I was kind of surprised by just how many it was. And I knew that I had done a lot of inaugurations. I interviewed a lot of governors. The first governor I interviewed was John Dalton. Mm-hmm. And the last one that I had anything to do with was Eric Greitens, and I was there for the inauguration. I was on the air with you guys a little bit that day. But so there's, 13 governors and 11 inaugurations or something like that and 22 executions, it all balances out so that you just continue to add the numbers up. And if you hang around long enough, the numbers become significant.
Bob Priddy, again, is our guest. You started in 1974. You talked about Clyde Lear and starting the company. And Clyde Lear, you really credited him for helping with you with building Missouri Net. And you even say in there that he defended the news department when sales didn't like some of the stories. I think that's very powerful.
Well, I think it is, too. And remember, Clyde started out as a journalist. Clyde went to Central Methodist College and graduated there, and he put the radio station, the campus radio station, on the air in Fayette. Yeah. Then when he went to the University of Missouri to do his master's degree, his master's project was a paper on the creation of a state radio network. Mm-hmm. After he got done with that, he was working for the Missouri Broadcasters Association here in Jefferson City. And the Missouri Broadcasters had something they called a codaphone back in those days, which was a telephone that you could speak into, and then somebody else could dial that number, and what you recorded in that telephone they could use on the air. And the MBA wanted Clyde every day to go over to the Capitol and pick up some Associated Press copy and read it into the telephone, and then people like me working at the local radio stations could call in, and we could get a voicer from Clyde Lear at the Capitol for our newscasts. Clyde, being the kind of person he is, always wants to do more. And so he started doing other things there. He started doing interviews with people and things like that, and the then executive director of the MBA didn't like that and told Clyde to stop it, and Clyde said, well, he didn't want to stop doing that, and so they fired him. And it just so happened that I had an opening at the newsroom at the radio station I was working for, which is no longer operating in Jefferson City. Sure. And so I hired him, and we worked together for about 2 years. So Clyde worked for me before I worked for Clyde. But we talked in the newsroom from time to time about this idea of a statewide radio network. Now, just down the hall from us was the office of the farm director, Derry Brownfield. And Derry had a dream of doing statewide farm news. Mm-hmm. And so he and Clyde got together. And after about 2 years and $85 a week, Clyde decided that wasn't enough that he could support his family. So he left, and he went to work for a guy named Buell Backley here in town who ran a lumber yard. And he sold driveway sealer for Buell for a couple of years. And he and Derry continued to put together this idea of a farm network. They thought they'd start out with that. Eventually, it got to the point where they were making some progress on it. But the general manager of the radio station where Derry still worked found out about it. And even though they'd planned on going to the manager of the radio station and saying, we'd like to use your carrier frequencies off your FM for this distribution, he fired Derry.
Wow.
And so that meant that both Derry and Clyde now were free to do whatever they wanted to do. And that was a good thing that worked out, because they were then able, and with some of Derry's friends who would sign notes to get this thing started financially, they then started what became the Brownfield Network. It was originally called the Missouri Network. And so they went on the air in 1973, okay. And after the first year, they were doing well enough that they could put together a small network that focused on areas down around the Boot Heel and Tennessee and Arkansas, that area that raises corn and rice and other crops that we don't see generally throughout the state.
Cotton, too.
And, cotton, yeah. And so they formed what they called the Delta Net, and it eventually went away and was just absorbed by the rest of the network. And then in 1974, Clyde called me and asked me if I had come to work for him on the Missouri Net. I had another thing going at the time, because when I was at the radio station here, I also was the capital correspondent for KMOX in St. Louis.
Wow.
And so once a week I would do a piece for them. And St. Louis had a newspaper strike, I want to say in 1973, so I did quite a bit more for KMOX. And Bob Hardy, who was the news director at the time, invited me to come in and sit down and do an interview because he wanted me to join his news staff at KMOX. So while Clyde had told me he wanted me to come to work here, I had gone into St. Louis, and my wife Nancy and I had gone into Bob Hyland's office, and Mr. Hyland was the general manager and regional vice president of CBS News, and we talked to Mr. Hyland, and Bob Hardy was on the couch behind me. He and Nancy were on the couch behind me, and Hyland said, well, we're very impressed with the work you do for us. As soon as we have an opening, we want to bring you in.
Wow.
And so I put off Clyde because I was expecting the call from KMOX eventually. Well, Bob Hardy stepped away from being the news director about that time, and Jim White became the news director. And I was never able to get with White. I did meet with him once, and he didn't seem to be the slightest bit interested in me. But I still, as a young guy looking at going to work for CBS, that was a big deal.
Sure.
And so I lived on that dream for quite a while until it just occurred to me that Mr. Hyland had not been telling me the truth. And so I called up Clyde, I want to say it was in August of 74, and said, okay, I'll come to work for you. And so I started work for the network on November 1st, 1974. My first broadcast was a farm program. Mm-hmm. Because Derry Brownfield was in Rome at the World Food Conference. And so I was filling in on the farm news while he was gone. And Derry did not believe in using tape recorders. So he was over there sitting behind the Secretary of Agriculture at this conference, and never once did any tape with him or anything. But he would call in a story a couple of times a day, and I would chop that up and use it on the farm news program. So my first broadcasts were farm broadcasts.
Yeah.
And we spent November and December putting the Missouri Net together, finding a place for our first studios, getting them equipped, hiring the two staff people, Charles Morris and Jeffrey Smith, and we went on the air on January 2nd, 1975.
January 75. Uh-huh. The two staffers with you again, their names?
Charles Morris, who now runs a radio ministry program in California.
Wow.
And Jeffrey Smith. Jeff later moved into sales with the Missouri Net, and then he became the general manager of the Minnesota News Network.
Before
he became a vice president for Northwest Airlines.
Wow.
And he retired from Northwest Airlines a few years ago. So he did very well, and Chuck has done very well, too. But we had, there were just three of us, and we ran ourselves down to the nubbins doing everything that we needed to do. Our offices at that time were downtown.
Yep.
And about three blocks from the Capitol. Jeff and I anchored the Joe Teasdale inauguration, the famous Freesdale inauguration in 77. And that was the one where it snowed a foot the night before. They canceled the parade. The wind chill was 45 below. And Teasdale decided he would have his inauguration outdoors because all of his friends from Kansas City were down here to see him sworn in. They had the intelligence to stay inside while we had all this going on outdoors. And Jeff and I were perched on these aluminum risers, you know, out there in the wind.
Sure.
And it was so bad that finally, as soon as Teasdale was sworn in and started his speech, I told Jeff, I said, I'm going back over to the office, and as soon as he's done, I'm going to go live from the office, and I want you to get in the Capitol and thaw out.
Yeah.
And so that's how we did it. I hustled the three blocks as fast as my frozen feet could carry me over to our office on East McCarty Street. And as soon as Teasdale was done speaking, I was in the studio and I switched on the microphone and carried the rest of it to the bottom of the hour and wrapped it up from there. And Teasdale is a governor who was elected basically on a lie. And for the next 4 years, the Missouri Net and Joe Teasdale just did not get along. And so, but by then, you know, we were all very seasoned reporters, and the Missouri Net had become the Missouri Net. And since we were the Missouri Net, then Brownfield could no longer be the Missouri Network.
Right.
And plus, they'd expanded outside the state, so they had to do something to change the name. So we had a big staff meeting to talk about what we should call ourselves.
Sure.
And somebody on the staff suggested the Brownfield Network, Brownfield Network. And so that's what we were going to call the company.
Yeah.
And so somebody on the staff suggested, well, how about Learfield?
Yeah.
And so that's when the company became Learfield, and the Brownfield Network became the Brownfield Network because it was no longer just the Missouri Net. And we were the Missouri Net.
Absolutely.
The Missouri Net, not just Missouri Net,
right.
But the Missouri Net. Capital T, capital M.
Exactly, and that's how it was started.
That's how it was started, and that's
Absolutely.
How I wish it still was.
I understand exactly. I totally agree. Final question. So many great memories. You've pushed for transparency with both parties. You've held both parties accountable. But you have also talked about the importance of covering the statehouse. A lot of stations have gotten away from that.
You know, we had a consultant once who told us that nobody cares about politics, that politics is too complicated, mundane, and boring, as he put it, to care about. And so he and I waged a war for about a year. And we continued to cover the State House because what happens in the State House is a local news story.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, too many radio and television stations think that Jefferson City is too far away for them to care about, and so they're not going to carry anything. And in the process, I think they are denying the people of the state of Missouri information the people should have to make intelligence decisions on the policy issues that affect our lives, from birth to death, from sunrise to sunset. And our job, we always felt, was to go to the Capitol, to cover the state government, and especially the legislature when it was in session, so that the people could hear the arguments, could get an understanding of what the issues are. They could hear their neighbors who came to town to testify.
That's right.
They could hear their legislators who came up here and said perhaps different things than they were saying back home. And so that the people back home would be able to hold them a little bit more accountable than they would be otherwise. There were some people who complained. When we first set up operations, they didn't like us recording House floor debate. And I got thrown out of a Senate committee hearing one night because I put a microphone on the witness table. I got together with the senator afterwards and explained to him what was going on, and he thought it was okay. But it was that's what we were all about, was making sure the people back home and all of the stations throughout Missouri could hear the sausage being made here, mm-hmm. and have a greater understanding of what it meant to them that this was going on. And that's the kind of thing that we intended, that we continued to do during all of the 40 years I was here. And unfortunately, during that time, we had some really tremendous people in the newsroom who were reporting. We kind of felt like, for the most part, we had a certain Missouri Net culture, and we looked for the kind of people that would plug into that culture. It was an aggressive news organization, mm-hmm. and we didn't much like people who tried to dodge us, mm-hmm. tried to hide from us. I remember one time we had a state senator who let the insurance industry write an insurance bill one day. And so Smith and I decided to go out and catch this guy at his hotel if we had to. And so we went over to what is now the Doubletree Hotel here in Jefferson City, Jeff watched for the front door, and I went around to the back door, and when he came in the back door, I caught him in a stairwell, and we talked to him about this business. And that's the kind of thing that we would do. We would, if we had to go someplace to catch somebody who was trying to run and hide, we'd do that, mm-hmm. because the accountability of the people who are in public office is something that cannot be overlooked and has to be passed along to the public. Unfortunately, in many cases, the public doesn't pay attention, but that's not our problem.
No, exactly.
Our problem as journalists is to get the information and put it out there for them. It's like mom and dad can put broccoli on the plate, but whether you eat it or not is something else. Well, our job was to put it on the plate, and we hoped that people would pay attention to what was being said and what was being done here. And we did a lot of different things, but when the Missouri Net went on the air, it was the first time that people throughout the state of Missouri could actually hear excerpts of legislative debate arguing the issues that affected their lives. It was the first time they could hear their legislators. It was the first time they could hear their neighbors who were up here arguing about these issues. And so that, I think, was our goal, and we accomplished that goal, and we did it for 40 years. And I see no indication that you and the rest of your staff are not continuing to do that.
Yeah, and the key is the affiliates as well. And I've seen, and you've seen it as well, and I guess I'll end on that. We've seen so many stations getting away from news. They just don't have the, and it's heartbreaking.
Well, it is. And the unfortunate thing is so many stations are not doing news, and there are too many places where a radio station is one of six formats in a building. And they might have one news person who reads some news stories, but they're not covering the news. And I think that they're letting their listeners down, and they're not meeting their responsibilities as voices in their community. While a lot of radio stations and TV stations are seeing this too, especially as more and more corporations are controlling the means of communication. What we're seeing more and more radio stations that are deserting their responsibilities to serve the public with their news, the local news and the regional news. And the only thing that people are getting from these stations is this daily drumbeat of division and derision and disgust that we keep hearing. And I think right now, in many ways, we as a country are paying for that. And I hope someday our industry, that you and I both love, Brian, will rediscover the idea that it has a certain responsibility to be of the community, not just a business in a community.
Exactly.
In many cases, a business that sucks money out of the community and sends it to some board of directors meeting in some other city.
In some other city and some other state. No, no question about that. Bob, it's always a pleasure. Congratulations, and we wish you all the best, and I know a lot of people are excited about it.
Well, I appreciate that. I've seen some nice comments, and I appreciate all those comments. You know, you always hope that your life's work is worth something, and this indicates that maybe it has been. And so I appreciate this recognition from the MBA and from the other people who have made comments about it. It's being a journalist is the only thing I could think of in my whole life that I would ever want to do. This has been an incredible thing to do with your life, and I'm still a journalist. I'm just not in the newsroom 80 hours a week. So this is nice.
Absolutely. Good to see you, Bob.
Thank you.